We're going to continue with our series today on Once They Go Anyway. Oh dear, noisy this morning, aren't they? You got your breath back yet, Lloyd? Yeah, come on. Amen. So is everybody enjoying our series of, what was it called? Ready for Revival. No, the book's called Revival Ready, isn't it? So, yeah, and who, what's the guy's name? Steve Apple. Yeah, that's it. There you go. Steve Apple. And it's not all from that, but it's coming out of that. Yeah, someone was wise enough, Steve Apple, to see what was going on and actually write about revival, how we can get ready for it. We cannot cause revival to happen, but we can be ready for it. Amen, church? Does anyone in the house want revival? Amen. Do you know what? I have been in a revival. I feel so blessed for it. It was just in our sabbatical, and I said to Deb, look, they're having a revival over in America. Why don't we go and get a touch of that? So we went and got absolutely blessed for 5 weeks. Like I said before, it's so overwhelming, so joyful to be part of it. We were 20 minutes away from Disney World and for 5 weeks, and we really wanted to go. We didn't go once. We just couldn't pull ourselves away. We had to be. It's that Moorish, that I just want more. And the more you got, the more you wanted. That's just how it is. And so we're going to continue with that today. And we're going to call today's talk Revival in the Nations. And so Psalm 2:8 says this. God says, ask and I will give the nations to you as your inheritance, to the ends of the earth your possession. Now, I've been asking for the Bahamas, the Seychelles, the Maldives, even I'd love one of the Greek islands. It's like, God, please, come on, a nice hot place to go and preach and teach and all that. He still hasn't given it, but I've still got a hope there that one day. And if not, do you know, there's one thing about us Christians. Everybody else has got a bucket list, that thing, the kind of things they've got to do before they die. Got to do this, see the Grand Canyon, go here, there, and everywhere. Do you know what? You can go to see the Grand Canyon. It's got nothing compared to what God has got for us in heaven. Amen? Nothing. So it doesn't matter if you miss that. You're better off missing that and just sinking yourself into doing what God has called you to do today, and you'll get more blessing than ever when you get into heaven. Far greater than this world has got for you. But here we see, so what do we see there? We see a picture. Try and picture now, you're up there in the throne room with God, and he's going, have a look down there. Just have a look at sea. And what you see there is people from every tribe and tongue and nation right to the ends of the earth. But unfortunately, they're all worshipping. Most of them, two-thirds of the world right now, at least, are worshipping foreign gods, following wrong ideologies, going their own way, far from God. They don't even know God. They're of the flesh, not of the spirit. But God wants them back. God wants them as his own treasure possession. And I love that bit of the Bible that God reveals to us, that we are his treasure possession. You need to take that on board, that you are God's son and daughter, if you've got Christ in you, and he dotes over you, absolutely loves you. He's jealous for your life, totally. He hates it when you go running off to do something else. No, God wants to gather us together, and is now. We become the bride of Christ so that we get to meet God at the end of time. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride, and it's that oneness that comes as we're married to him, one with him forever. But the thing is this, is that God wants us, he's doing it around the world now, gathering people up. There was a day when he came for you, he called your name out. Each one, even you, Sam. Look at that. Come on. Rasta Mouse too, over there. But the thing is that God knows your name. He's called you out, guys. And he wants us to get out there and share that with others. And he says here, ask me and I will give it to you. I will give the nations as your possession, as your inheritance. So how do we ask? First of all, elsewhere it says, if you don't ask, you don't get. So we've started to ask. God, give us the nations. So how do we ask? By praying for it, by desiring it in our heart. Isn't it wonderful as we come together? You look around you now, there is so much difference in this room. So many people from different tribes, tongue, nations, backgrounds. And isn't it wonderful when we all come together? Someone's happy about that. When God called me and Debbie to come and plant a multicultural church, I was so scared. I come from Basildon and they're all white. Sorry, but they are. It's not so much now. It's becoming a little bit more multicultural. But I said to God, "What? I don't know what they do. What do black people do? What do Chinese people? What's in their heart? I haven't got a clue." And I was so fearful till we went out to Dubai. And we met some Malaysians, some Indians out there. And they just loved us and loved us and loved us. And by the time they finished up, we just didn't want to plant a church. If it wasn't multicultural, we're not into it. We want to do it. So it's amazing the work that God does. And that. So we're asking for Haresh and what's going out there in Odisha, with Omni and what's going out there in Africa, with the Ukraine. We're still giving to the... Do you want to give a big shout there, Omni? No, come on. No, a shout comes out of your mouth. He's been doing that. It's like, come on, give a bigger shout for our Africa. There you go, come on. There's a man in there. And so we've been giving. But also, at the minute, we're working closely with Haresh out there in India. Good morning, guys. What a lovely song that was. And that I understood every word of it. I got the message and that. But so Haresh, so we've been working with him for about 2 years now. And what Haresh has been doing, he's been working with his other leaders. And he's part of Africa, Odisha, where there's lots of villages. And so he's training his leaders up and sending them out to plant churches in the villages that are around. Now, in order for him to do that, because as you could see, his family's growing up, all four of them can't fit on a motorbike anymore, which I'm sure they did for a while. So what he's asking is if we can help out to get him a second-hand car, something half decent that he can get to these different villages with. So I'm saying now, we're asking, but it comes with a price. You know, we've been praying for him during the week. It's lovely. And now we're going to put it into action, and we're going to send some money. Now, so I'm asking you, if you've got something stored up that you think, I'd love to give to that, you're going to be extending the kingdom. We've got a sense that there's going to be a massive revival around there. He's such a lovely guy. He's an apostolic kind of fella where people are gathering to him and now sending them out. And we're part of that, guys. It's just an amazing story. So if you've got money that you want to give to that, just give to the normal bank account and just put Haresh or India, either of them, and we'll know what it's for. Or even car. Is that okay, guys? Yeah? Let's be a generous church. All I know is that the more we give, we don't charge the church for our time, and we give a reasonable amount each week to the church. And there are times when we give a lump sum to the church, offerings. And you cannot outgive God. It's as simple as that. You cannot outgive him. We've got more now than we've ever had. We've had accountants go through our thing just to check we're doing it right, in case anyone's worried about that. And they come out transformed. Because they see what we've done and think real challenge for their own life. It's like, we should be doing that, yeah? So, guys, all I can say is go for it. Give from your heart and let's see that gospel in that nation out there that we're part of now spread like wildfire, because that's what's starting to happen. So give to that. Okay, so let's look at what we're going to do is look at revivals from three different nations, okay, and see what we can learn from them. And so in 1953, revival came to the Congo, Zaire, through missionaries called David and Ann Davis. Now, at the time, the church had become dull and boring. It became lukewarm. People stopped going to the prayer meetings. People stopped going to the group meetings that they were part of. It wasn't good at all. Even the missionaries admitted that they'd stopped having burning hearts for God. And so where are you right now with God? How burning is your heart for him and the things that he has? Because there's a warning that comes with it. And that is in Revelation 3, it says this: because you're not hot or cold, yet somewhere in the middle, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That's what God thinks of us if we're not red hot for him. And I have had times in my life, I've got to be honest with you, where I felt totally on fire and God's with me and everything's happening. But maturity teaches us that sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes God distances himself to see how much faith you have. Or is it only because you've got this wonderful presence of God that you're worshiping him? And so I've been through times like that, but I've got to say that right now I'm on fire inside. I wake up in the night, I'm praying again, I'm praying during the day. It's just an amazing thing where God's fire starts to burn in your heart. I encourage you now. The good news is there's something, if you're in that place where it feels dead and dry and dull, well, first of all, check your praying, check your reading, check your giving, check those basic principles of Christian faith. Are you sharing your faith? And we're going to see some more now. You can do something about it. In the Congo, what they did was they started to make it right with relationships that were wrong. They started to repent and come together and stop holding grudges against each other. And things that, you know, where the world gets in, you get the thorns of life getting in, and all of a sudden it robs you of the very thing you want and desire. More than anything else, we want the burning heart of God. But the world robs us of it. And these guys realized, and they started to put things right. And then they started to pray again. They started to take prayer seriously, meet regularly for prayer times. During one of them prayer times, one of the guys there, the leaders there, just broke down in tears because he realized that he'd got a hard heart. Somehow he'd gone from this flaming man of God to this kind of like, just so, might do, might not, in the middle, lukewarm. And as a missionary, it must have been horrible. Suddenly broke down, his tears on the floor. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one did. And they're all on their faces in tears before God, crying out. And that meeting went on and on and on until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine that here? I think View Cinema will probably get the ump, but God would be pretty happy. Yeah, 2 in the morning that went on to. And it spread from there. The Holy Spirit was on the move. Revival had started to happen in that nation through them. And within no time, by May, it had spread. So the presence of God, the awareness of God, this closeness of God went out from them into the communities. Next thing you know, it was 160 miles away, a couple of months later. And then by July, it was 260 miles away, where people were just swamped and engulfed and embraced with the presence of God. And the atmosphere that they were in at the time was amazing. I'm telling you now, you've never felt anything like it. When we used to get out of the car in the States, when that was happening, you'd feel a buzz in your belly when the guy was there. It was just amazing. And just men getting out of the car, crying in tears because they'd met the living God in such fullness. There honestly is nothing like it. And what they described it like here is the presence of God was so near, and his awesomeness. That's why we have to be careful of using that word. There is no word higher. It should be for God only. Awesomeness that they felt, they spoke in whispers. They spoke in whispers. Can you imagine that? Sam, what do you reckon he's doing now? You know, Leona, what do you think God is doing? And you're too fearful to raise your voice because God is so close. I mean, this is real, guys. This is what happens. God isn't into religion and just turning up and having a fun time. We love that. He's into us loving upon him and him loving upon us. But can you imagine that today? It's one of the things that we have lost. Then we must not be a church that does that, guys, where they've lost the reverence, they've lost the awe, they've lost the wonder. The fear of God's not there. That's a plague of today's Christianity, is that Jesus is my mate, he's my friend, and yes, he is, but there's no more to it. We've lost the awe and the wonder that God is. We must never lose that. They said there, it seemed like we were absolutely wrapped up in God. It's such a wonderful place to be. And I believe that God wants some of that for us. It could be for us individuals. It could be for the church. It could be for the city that we live in. It could be for the nations or spread further. But we are starting to see something of that in some of our people. It's an amazing thing. Are you up for that, church? Come on. And so the results of that in that particular part of the world was that people had stolen stuff off the government, started to return stuff. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's not much. No, there was so much stuff coming back that gave the authorities problem. They had to hire someone to sort all the stuff out that was coming back. It transformed them. And suddenly, God came upon them with a creative spirit. And there were people that didn't even write songs before. They were writing songs. They were getting tunes that weren't from them. They were so beautiful. They were writing them down. Songs came out of them that never done that before. And hundreds and thousands started to get saved. For a whole 18 months that went on out there. Zaire. And we're seeing something of that in Basildon right now. Something in a tiny, tiny way where God is just doing so much. People coming to Christ. People transforming their lives. We've seen leaders starting to get honest, and amongst our leaders here as well, of breaking down and admitting where they're struggling. We've seen our prayer groups grow now to about 4 a week, 5 a week sometimes. People coming to Christ. We bought a minibus down the other end, and it's our sister church. They are part of us. It's part of our family. When there was six, we said we're going to birth a church, and we did. And now, I don't know, there was 25 of them here last week. It's just amazing what God is doing. We bought a minibus a few weeks ago where we had 4 youth, and now there's many, many more than that that are coming along. And so God really is moving amongst us. We're seeing a fire burning for hunger, for God to do more, this revival stuff amongst us. And I'm loving it. I'm praying, God, just keep doing it. Catch us up here with that same fire. And it's not just for adults. That's what I love about it. East Java, the second one, in 1972 in Indonesia. Amongst the desperately poor people. I mean, they were that poor, they had nothing. And when there was droughts, people would starve to death. That's how it was. And the Holy Spirit came upon one congregation and started to move, where 30 of the youth got together and started to pray to God, pray to Him weekly for a Bible study. And one time during that Bible study, the Holy Spirit came in power. And some of them started to break out in tears, crying, confessing to the Lord, putting again grudges right where they'd fallen out. The Holy Spirit started to move in awesome power among the youth there. People were starting to come to Christ. And it was amongst the villages there again. And at the time, it was really dangerous to go into the villages. They didn't want people sharing the gospel there. But suddenly, as the Holy Spirit started to move and they saw the difference in the youth that was there, the chiefs of the villages started to ask, can you send an evangelist to us? We've heard what's happened with your village. We want it as well. Can you share that with us? And so it started to spread. The gospel was spreading. The missionaries there, Colin and Joan, it was. They said it was unbelievable. We just found ourselves in the middle of what God was doing. At first, they didn't realize there was a revival going on. They said it was, this is how they described it. It was like watching TV. where suddenly this is happening, that's happening, that's happening. God's doing this, God's doing that. And all they could do was help out wherever. It was just an amazing time for them. It was a bit like watching the film last week. Everybody enjoyed a film last week? Come on. What a great time together. But it was like that, wasn't it? You know, it was just one guy, then a few of his hippie mates, and suddenly it started to spread from one to another, and then right across the nation as God started to do his stuff. And the thing was, a bit like out there in Java, East Java, it wasn't sophisticated Christianity. You know, these models you get that are more business-like than they are following Jesus and hearing his voice and just doing what he wants us to do. So many of them like that. But all they did was focus on Jesus and love Jesus. And they simply did what he said. You know, and we've got to be ready for God to break into our lives. You know, Colin, the guy in the missionary there, he used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go out to about 36, I think it was, different villages to share the gospel, and he would get back at 12 o'clock at night, have a couple of hours sleep, and then he'd be out on the road again at 4 o'clock that next morning. And he was full of it. It wasn't like, I've got to do it. It's like, I can't wait to get out there again, because he's totally soaked in the presence of God. That's what he did. And simply all they did was trust what the Word of God says and do it. Trust what Jesus was telling them and step out in faith, and the Holy Spirit went to work. But guys, it affects every area of life. Every area. Matthew 8:20 says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And me and them, are we living in light of that? When God called us out of where we'd lived for all my 40 years or whatever it was when I came up here, it was like, so we're suddenly living in a place we don't know anyone and all that. And it was just, but God was with us. And it was like, well, I don't understand why we're here Christmas Day with me, Debbie, and the dog. That was it. And after a couple of months of being here, and it's like, what are we doing? But we knew that God was with us. And now he's called us back there to Basildon, Islington, Basildon, Islington, Basildon. We never know what we do any week, what we're going to be doing, where we're going to be. But we're totally happy. You know, don't think that we're burning out. We're burning on God, mate. We're burning juice here. It's like, you can't stop us. It's like, it's this flame is going. And it's like, it's a wonderful place to be, guys. And we're just loving it. But I want to say to you, are you ready? Bless you. There you go. But are you ready for God to interrupt your life? Your comfy life. We all get it. You know, we've sorted out God, what he is. We've sorted out what the Christian life should be. And then we get on with our life and do a bit of the God stuff and all that stuff. You ready for that? Or are you ready for God to say, I want to do something different with you? Because some people resist it, you know. You remember the bit in the film where you saw the hippies and they're coming into his little congregation, and they're glowing with the love of God. And as much as the pastor was uncomfortable with it, he saw something happening. It's like this miserable lot here, who do the same thing every week, they look a certain way. These hippies, there's the glow. There's God. I can see the gods on them. And as much as I want to be loyal to these people, this is what God's doing. Come on, guys, get involved with what they're doing. And most of them did. But some of them went, the hippies are not wearing their shoes in the church. And they're ruining the carpet. It's like, really? Honestly, it's one of the most difficult things as a pastor when you get that kind of thing happening. It's like, really? I'm with you guys who are in this place that God isn't on in that way yet. And saying, come on. We've seen what God is doing. Let's get involved. We want the glow for everybody. Jesus wants the glow. God's up there in the heavens going, come on, this is what you read the Bible for. This is what my son came, died, rose again, and now is living in your heart. It's him that's breaking out. Don't sit over there worrying about who's messing the carpet up or not. Get involved. Can I hear a glory to that? It's what he wants. It's like, come on, guys. Completely lost where I am, but I really don't care. I don't. It's like, I want it more than anything. Abandoned to it. Abandoned. Relationships that were difficult before. Now it's like, I don't care. God, I just want you, Lord. I just want what you've got in my heart. And that's the abandonment that we've got to have. If we really want to see that happen, we've got to have that. Ready for that? I've had to set a new pattern in life because we're praying at between 6 and 7 in the morning for a few days now. I've had to start going to bed earlier. It doesn't just happen. I don't want to get so that I'm Mr. and Mrs. Tired. So I've had to go to bed earlier, get rid of some of them rubbish DVDs things that you watch on Netflix. See them nowadays. What time is it? I will speak about this. It seems to me that they come up with a little bit of drama, so many of them, so that they can show another sex thing going on. You know, like, boom into sex here, boom into sex there. It's like, I just want to watch something that's worth watching. It's getting less and less of it, guys. And it's infiltrating our minds. It's infiltrating what is most important. Sex is the God of the universe now, not Jesus. Sorry. There we go. Apart from in Linda's world, which I think you've got a lot. I think you should get up here, Linda, really. No, don't. Sit there. Sit there. That's a bit revelation going on right there. So the next one. Poland. Come on. I love this one. So in the early 18th century, and God, guys, there's been hundreds of these, right? I'm just picking on some of them. In Poland, in the 18th century, there was a great struggle with the Catholic Church. You know, they had the traditions, they had the Pope, they had everything, the indulgences, they had purgatory, all this kind of stuff that just isn't in the Bible. And then people like us go, well, yeah, but we're in the Word. That's why we're going in the Word in September. It's who we are. We're going to do what the Word says. If it's not in the Word, we're going to strip it clean. We don't want that. We're just going to do what the Word says. Puritans came out of that. They said, we're going to rid Christianity of all this stuff that we've added on that's not there. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that lot added so many things to the law of God that wasn't there. And so there was this big fight going on. And the thing was, is the Catholic Church then ruled the roost, and the Lutherans that came out, they stopped them. No, you're not going to just believe the Bible. You are going to do what the Pope says. You are going to do indulgences and all the rest of your purgatory. There's none of it in the Bible. You are going to do that. So the adults couldn't do what they wanted to do. You know what happened? The kids rose up. True story. The school kids rose up and they started to have prayer meetings in the field next to the church. They started to have prayer meetings there and it grew. They met to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and pray for peace in the land. And the kids were praying that they could worship God as he had revealed himself in the Bible. The kids did it. And it grew and grew as God spread it. And it became known as the children's movement. And the parents that didn't like it would lock their kids up so that they couldn't go. And you know what the kids would do? Jump out of the window so that they could go. Now, I can remember my kids in another kind of church which they had a Sunday school. My kids were breaking out of the Sunday school, opening the window. I found out years later, breaking out and getting out because it was so boring. Oh, our kids' work is not boring, guys. Okay, but these were kids that couldn't wait to get in prayer. No, they were praying their hearts out there. And I just believe that God is moving upon our kids like that right now. Never underestimate what God can do through children. Deuteronomy 6:4-9 says this, that we must teach our children the word of God. We speak it to them, talk to them about it. We speak to them in the mornings when they get up. We give them a little story when they go to bed. And we teach them to live it out in their lives. And while every other religion is saying, get them out, they're crying, they're smelling, get them away while we worship God. Jesus said, bring them to me. Exactly what he says. And so pray for our children. Pray for our children's leaders. Angela up there, Joe, Debbie, that we would see breakthrough with them. There's talk now that there's a couple of them want to get together, to pray together, that we're going to have a children's group meet every now and again just for prayer and that God would break out in that. Because what happened there is that it started to spread again. And just through that one church, it started to grow and grow and grow. And in the end, 10,000 people were passing through that church every week. What started with a few children had now become a movement that went across the whole English-speaking world. Through the villages, through the towns, through into the nation. And in India at that time, one national leader said that 170,000 children were being discipled and taught Jesus, and they were praying with impressive fervency. Can you believe that? What is your prayer life like? Is it, oh God, help me today, my big toes hurt, and it'd be nice if you could heal that. Could you give me a little bit more of this? Or are you saying, God, will you come in power? Will you transform the situations I'm going through? Will you transform this nation? Will you sort this government out? God, would you come in power? Turn this country of ours around. It was Great Britain and now it's not, because we shipped out on you. Are you praying like that? Because they're the kind of prayers even these kids were praying. And so what is God doing now? Well, we've got a little spark of a revival in Basildon. Amongst that little church there, something is happening. But there are other places in the world. You look at Iran, believe it or not, there's revival happening out there. In Thailand, it's happening. In Myanmar, it's happening. Algeria, in Africa, and Brazil. God is breaking out in power, and revival power is happening. God is drawing out people from every tribe, tongue and nation, just like it says in Revelation 7. That's what God is doing now. It's not just going to happen, it's doing it right now. And we're to be part of that. And so I want us to pray and ask for the nations, give to the nations time, prayer, finances, whatever God has released us to give, we will give, so that we have our part. Our inheritance really is the nations. That is our possession. That when we get up there and we see so many people from other nations there, we can say, we were part of you. And they're going to say, thank you. You came to us. You helped us out. And the more we give to that, the more God will give in our life. That's the way it works.